The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Thanks, Russ. Add my welcome to Russ's. Great to have you along with us here at Bible Shots as we keep working our way through words to live by and thinking about wisdom. We started last week with our quest for wisdom, looking at the book of Proverbs, and a question that was left hanging was, well, what is wisdom? We had a working definition of wisdom is actually living life well, but when you think about it, that's not really a great definition. How do you work out who's living life well? So, for example, back in 1986, Huey Lewis and the News, they released the single Hip to be Square. And I reckon that the chorus line, it's hip to be a square, it's basically become a proverbial saying that you can use when you reach a point in life when you realise that actually the cool option isn't all it's cracked up to be and the boring option is far better. So, for example, I feel like I've worked out that sometimes staying out until the small hours of Saturday morning after Friday night isn't actually that fun anymore. You know what's more fun? Going home, enjoying a nice pizza, maybe with some friends, watching a movie. It's hip to be a square. But one of the things that sits in the background of that sort of proverb, of that way of thinking, is that, well, what wisdom looks like, what living life well is all about, it can change depending on your circumstances or perspective. You know, I used to think partying was really good, that was living life well, but it's now shifted. Why is one better than the other? If wisdom is about living life well, is wisdom really just a matter of opinion? Bible Shots, as our name implies, we try to think about what the Bible has to say and how it contributes to the discussion of bigger questions and how it impacts our daily lives. But we don't assume a particular set of beliefs here. Plenty of people who come along don't identify as followers of Jesus. Or maybe you've never even opened a Bible before. And if that's you, glad to have you along as we consider the perspective that the Bible puts forward. Because as we look at the Bible's take on wisdom, it actually says it's not just a matter of opinion. It's not just a perspective shift like Huey Lewis and the News were saying. I'm actually saying there's real wisdom and it is the way you should be living. It's not just a matter of perspective. So we're going to be looking at the introduction to Proverbs, and I think we're going to see that wisdom is living life well in God's world by listening to God's word and trusting that it's best. What is wisdom? Wisdom is living life well in God's world by listening to his word, trusting that it's best. I think that's what we're going to be seeing today. So a quick orientation to what we're looking at. Like I said, we're looking at the book of Proverbs. It's part of the Bible attributed to Solomon. He was the king of ancient Israel about 3,000 years ago at the height of their power. And it's largely a collection of proverbial sayings and it's trying to impart wisdom. But today we're actually blitzing our way through the introduction to the book of Proverbs. We're blitzing our way through the introduction. And the tone, it's kind of like a fireside chat. Maybe a father sitting down with his son as he's about to finish high school and start uni, or maybe a mentor speaking to her protege who's about to, you know, leave from under her wing and go and start a new job in a new place. It's that tone of a transition in life, and the person who has, you know, older, more experience is sharing wisdom with the person that they love. It's this vibe of a fireside chat. And actually, it's quite a long introduction. It's 9 chapters long, about 4,000 words. It's nearly a third of the whole book of Proverbs. So there's a lot in there we're not going to be looking at today. We're instead going to focus on a couple of big ideas that get repeated on the way through as the intro to help set us up for the rest of the book as we come to it in a few weeks' time. So we're going to be unpacking the questions, well, what is wisdom and what do we do with wisdom? What is wisdom and what do we do with wisdom? So firstly, wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom comes from God, and wisdom is for life to avoid death. Wisdom comes from God. So as we go about the various parts of our lives, you know, our jobs, our family, as we try to navigate things like finances, friendship, our health, whatever it might be. When we want wisdom, when we want insight into how to do a task well, we go to the experts. We go to people who've lived it and experienced it. We go to people who've done the research and have the data. That's what we do. We go to the people who know. The other day, I was interested in learning a little bit more about managing my energy levels during the day, so I did a little bit of internet research. I found a podcast that looked like it was reasonably reputable, downloaded it, listened to it. I went to someone who was at least some sort of an expert. They'd looked at the data and put it together in a way that I could easily comprehend and digest. We know who the people, we know we go to people who have the knowledge or the facts to get wisdom into how to do things well. But Proverbs says if you want to get real wisdom, you need to go to God and listen to what he has to say. So Proverbs 2:6, it's the Lord who gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And part of the reason that we need to listen to God, that real wisdom comes from him, is that he's the creator. He's the one who knows how the world works. It says, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop their dew. And then when wisdom speaks, she says something similar. She talks about being there when God created the world. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon of the face of the deep. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Just a few select verses from Proverbs there. Proverbs says that real wisdom comes from God because he's the creator. He understands how it works. A number of years ago now, I used to fly a plane like this, a Cessna 172. And one of the important things that you did every single time was work through the startup manual. There were certain checks that you were meant to go through, certain tolerances you were meant to check that the manufacturer had provided. Because the manufacturer had built it, they'd done the testing on the tolerances, they knew how it worked, they knew what were the warning signals that the plane would give you that maybe something wasn't right and it wasn't safe to fly. You go to the manufacturer for wisdom on how to do things well. And the Bible's saying the same thing. God's wisdom is what we need for how to live well in the world because he's the one who created it. And he used wisdom in that process. Wisdom comes from God. But not only that, the Bible, Proverbs says wisdom, it's actually for life. It's for life and it's to avoid death. So as you read through this introduction to Proverbs that we're kind of blitzing over this week, one of the things that keeps coming up is that wisdom is for life. So for example, then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all of your heart, keep my commands and you will live. Or hold on to instruction, do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Or again, for those who find me, wisdom talking, find life and receive favour from the Lord. Wisdom in the Bible is all about life. But it's not just about finding life, it's also about avoiding death. So wisdom, when she speaks, says, those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord, but those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. The wisdom that the Bible is talking about is actually on a far bigger scale than we actually usually think about. The way I often think about wisdom, it's almost a bit more like a software upgrade. You know, a couple of days ago, I got a notification on my phone saying it was time to upgrade my iOS. And, you know, I dutifully downloaded it because, you know, I'm just that sort of guy. But when you look at what it was providing, what it was giving you, the thing that's usually there is performance enhancements. Occasionally, it might change an app logo, and that's interesting for a couple of seconds. And every now and then, it might add a new feature that you go, oh, that's kind of useful. You know, recently, the iPhone added a night watch mode to sort of remove the blue light and make it orange at night, which, you know, helps with your circadian rhythm and stuff. Oh, no, that's a good feature. I like that. Very occasionally, it adds these new features, and those are good things. But the perspective on wisdom that the Bible is putting forward actually isn't like that. I tend to think wisdom is like that. They're sort of performance upgrades. But actually, the Bible says, no, wisdom is much bigger than that. It's much bigger than just helping you do things better or more efficiently. The Bible says wisdom, it's about finding life and avoiding death. And when we start to get a glimpse of what the wise life looks like, wisdom says, my mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just, none of them are perverse. Or by me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. And finally, I walk in the way of righteousness along paths of justice. And so listening to God about what it means to be wise, it's actually the sort of thing that affects all sorts of life decisions, shaped by God's understanding of truth and justice and righteousness. So even though it's this wisdom in the Bible, it's looking at these really big concepts like life and death, actually we see it starts connecting into the opportunities and challenges we face every day. As we keep working our way through Proverbs, we'll see actually it really wants to grapple with everyday issues like money, emotions, friendship, sex and relationships, and we'll look at a couple of those topics more closely in the weeks to come. But in the introduction, what Proverbs wants us to see is that wisdom is built on this foundation of listening to God and his words and his understanding of what truth and justice and righteousness are, that it's for life to avoid death. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is from God, and it's for life to avoid death. So in looking at what wisdom, we've answered that question, but what about, what do we do with it? What do we do with wisdom when we find it? And so we're going to look at 2 points. You need to keep choosing wisdom, and you need to keep choosing wisdom even when it isn't easy. See, the sort of wisdom that the Bible talks about, it's not just a one-off choice. It's really more of a lifestyle. Proverbs uses the language of a way or a path in describing wisdom. So, for example, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who've left the straight paths to walk in darkness. Thus, you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. To walk in the ways of wisdom, it's an ongoing choice, something you keep deciding to do in the face of various opportunities and challenges you're confronted with day by day. And it's not a, I don't think it's a really foreign image to us. So, for example, Scott Pape, the barefoot investor, is sort of a go-to financial wisdom guy, particularly if you're a millennial, and he even has his own proverb. He says, tread your own path. Now, he's particularly thinking about financially and not just listening to what the big banks have to say and tell you what you need, but to think through things yourself and have your own financial game plan. But, you know, he's hit the idea that wisdom, it's not just a one-off choice, it's actually a path, it's a lifestyle decision, it's something you need to keep deciding, you need to keep doing. And that's the image the Bible uses of wisdom, that it's about walking the right path. Wisdom is about walking a path, listening to God, and making choices shaped by things that he values, like truth and justice and righteousness. But also, wisdom's not easy. It's not always easy to keep choosing the wise path. As you start reading through this introduction to Proverbs, and you meet some of the different antagonists, the people who've abandoned wisdom and wise ways and are walking in a different way and are trying to get people to follow them, it starts to seem almost comical. Have a look. Chapter 1, verse 10. It says, my son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us and we will all share the loot. You know, when I read this picture of the alternative to wisdom, the picture that pops into my mind is someone like this, Hanna-Barbera's Dick Dastardly. You know that this guy's a bad guy just looking at him. You know, you can see him twirling his moustache. You know he's the sort of guy who comes up with over-the-top schemes to try and lure the heroes in and come out on top, and you know he always fails. Similarly, when you meet one of the other antagonists, when you meet Lady Folly, personified by the adulterous woman in Proverbs. When you first meet her, she's not alluring, she's off-putting. She's described like a prostitute walking the streets, and you think, if that's what I'm meant to avoid, I think I'll be okay. I think I'll be able to avoid that. I can manage. But actually, as you keep reading through and you keep reading more closely and thinking about it, you get a sense that these villains might not be as ridiculous or as superficial as we might first think. You know, the bandits we just read about, they offer some pretty good things. You know, they're working as a team, they're promising friendship, common ties, easy money. Who doesn't want that? The adulteress, when we keep meeting her, she actually offers a clean and luxurious place to eat a home-cooked meal and enjoy a night of carefree erotic delights. At the same time, as we meet Wisdom and see what she's like, some of the things we find out about Wisdom are pretty unappealing. When we first meet her, one of the things she says is, "Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I'll make known to you my teachings." No one likes the person who tells you you're doing it wrong and then just tells you what you should be doing instead. No one likes that person. By the time we get to the end of the introduction and the passage that Russ read out before and is in your handouts, actually, we see there's actually a lot of similarity between Wisdom and Folly. Both call people to their house, both offer food and drink to those who would come. Continuing to choose Wisdom isn't easy. Wisdom tells you you've got it wrong, Folly offers something easy, and it can appear more exciting. So that raises two final questions to my mind to look at just as we finish up. Two final questions. Firstly, why would you choose Wisdom, and what if I fail? Why would you choose Wisdom? If Wisdom is this harsh critic and Folly is actually easy and offers pretty much the same thing, why would you choose it? Well, the key difference is something we've already seen. It's the end point. Wisdom is for life, to avoid death. We see that in the passage that Russ read out before. Wisdom says, "Leave your simple ways and you will live." Whereas the guests who come to Folly's house, little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. As you read through Proverbs, the introduction, but even the whole book, it's almost like it gives you a mental sieve to pan out as much folly as you can and leave you with the wisdom of gold. And it starts out pretty broad, but as you keep reading, it's like the sieve, the mesh gets narrower and narrower until you keep realizing, you know, wisdom is not easy. But ignoring what God says leads to death. And listening to what God says leads to life. As we keep reading through Proverbs and the rest of the Bible, we see ignoring God, that actually leads to judgment, to being cut off from God, the source of life. Whereas wisdom actually leads to life. But as we've seen, it's not easy and actually is hard. So that raises the final question, you know, what if I fail? What if you're sitting here and thinking, well, actually, I know I've already made a mess of my life. I've done things that are foolish and I'm reaping the consequences. Even the fact that the sieve gets finer and finer says sooner or later, even if we haven't yet, we will do something that is really foolish, that makes a mess. What do you do? What can you do when you fail? What comfort does wisdom provide? I think firstly, that context actually helps. Remember, the tone is a fireside chat of a father to his son or a mentor to her protege, encouraging them to see the importance of wisdom as they head out and start this new phase of life. It's not addressing people who are in the midst of guilt and shame for having done something foolish. It's trying to encourage people to hold on to a particular way of living and stick to that path. But that said, I think there are clues in there for where to start if you do find yourself in that situation of life being a mess. Like we've already seen, one of the challenging things about wisdom is that it rebukes. It tells you when you've got it wrong and says, come back. One of the things wise people do, though, is they acknowledge it. They admit, yeah, I've been foolish. It's not too late to start listening to wisdom. But also, remember the context of the book of Proverbs is that it's attributed to Solomon. Even though he's identified as the great wise king of Israel, if we know the story in the Bible, we know that actually he didn't stick true to that path. By the end of his life, he'd married hundreds of women, had thousands of concubines, and was worshipping other gods. He walked away from the path of wisdom. And as that plays out over the centuries, it ends up with king after king who fails to rule with wisdom, and God's people eventually getting cut off from the land. If we know we've been foolish, well, we're not in good company, but we're in famous company from the Bible. And God doesn't actually leave his people to suffer in folly and lostness. In the end, he sends his son to rescue them. He sent Jesus, the great wise man who lived with wisdom and taught it's not too late to turn back to God, to turn back to God and start living with wisdom. And it's actually listening to Jesus and his teaching that he came to die in our place so we could live, that we see in the New Testament is the true source of wisdom, the fullness of God's wisdom. That's been a blitz through the introduction of Proverbs, the first nine chapters, but we've seen wisdom in the Bible is all about living well in God's world by listening to his word and trusting that it's best. We've also seen it's an ongoing choice, but it isn't easy. But it is worthwhile because it is the way to life. So is there a link between wisdom being an attribute of God and wisdom being personified in Jesus? Yes, there are. It's like a lot of wisdom literature, I think it's a little bit fuzzy. So I think there's a few different ways in which it links, the theme of wisdom links us to Jesus. So one is that he's, I guess, seen as the great wise man who actually does live according to God's ways, doesn't just obey the law, but he actually lives in other situations with great wisdom. And he says, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, it's the wise person who hears him and listens to him and follows him through. So there's that through line. I think there's also the fact that actually God's wisdom is very different to the world's wisdom. And so it was part of the wisdom of God to actually save the world through Jesus dying in our place. That's part of God's wisdom, is the way that actually he sent Jesus as his mission. But then there's also parts in Colossians, which Jesus is described in very much the same terms as wisdom can be in Proverbs, there's some sort of a correlation there, that Jesus was there at the start when God made the world. So in Proverbs 8, we sort of hear wisdom saying, I was there when God made the world, and God made the world through me. And then Paul says the same thing about Jesus, that God made the world through him and for him. So there's also a link there, but I'll be careful about being too bound on that. So there's some of the links that would exist there. Yeah.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.